Psalms 98. Psalms 98. When you have it, say amen. We're going to read verses 1. I think for the purpose of where God wants to take us, I want you to jump over after we read verse 1 to Psalms 100. Verse 1 of Psalms 98 declares, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." I'm going to say it again because I can see you already missed it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, future tense, for he has done marvelous things, past tense. So your new song is for something that hasn't happened yet. But it's based off of the fact that he has already done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. Skip over to Psalms 100 and it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, I pray that you speak such a word to us today that it changes not some things but everything, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word, and on our ears so that we can hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. So I stand in my spiritual authority and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I remove from this atmosphere the spirit of heaviness. And then we close ourselves in the garment of praise. And we declare that we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. You agree? Say amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on. I don't need to describe what it is. Just show it to them and say, get ready to celebrate. Get ready. Come on, find somebody else and just tell them, get ready to celebrate. Yeah, Brother Kenny, if you could just turn me up a little bit. I feel a little muffled, that's all. Just. Turn me up a little bit, not so much in the monitors, but just turn me up. That's all. I appreciate it. The Psalms, if you will, that's perfect. Thank you, sir. The Psalms, if you will, are probably the most quoted and the most popular scriptures among all scripture. The book of Psalms is the largest, if you will, of all the books in the Bible. It explores the full range of human experience in a very personal and also practical way. It is comprised of 150 songs that run from creation through the patriarch age, through the theocratic, and also throughout the monarchy of Israel, including the exilic and post-exilic periods of Israel's history. The tremendous breadth and subject matter in the Psalms includes diverse topics from everything ranging from jubilation to war to peace to worship to judgment to prophecy to praise and to lament. When we find ourselves all the way back in Psalms 98, we're finding ourselves in a part of the book of Psalms that have been broken down into sections, and the section we are in is section 4. Yeah, section 4 or book 4 of the Psalms begins in Psalms 90. If you were a theologian and studying the book of Psalm, you would understand that the Psalm itself is broken down into these specific books is because of how they were collected to be able to be canoned in scripture. In other words, they weren't collected all at once, but they were collected over time. And so being collected over time, they had to be formatted and put in their proper place. And it is at Psalms 90 that book 4 begins. And it goes all the way from Psalms 90, and it spans all the way to Psalms 100. When you get to Psalms 90, you'll begin to see the Psalm of Moses. And you'll begin to hear Moses begin to sing his song and pray his prayer and begin to declare what the Lord has already done for Israel. The reason why he is doing so is because he is being reminded of the fact of how God delivers. Not that he will, but how it happens. And the reason why he's giving this description is because he understands that Israel is about to go into a different dimension and a different way of living based upon the promise God has given them. In other words, one way of living they have known. They knew what struggle was. They knew what hardship was. They knew what pain was. They understood how to handle that. They knew what the wilderness looked like because they lived there, if you will, for 40 years. They knew what it was like to wander and to drift aimlessly because they did that for 40 years. They knew what it was like to have to trust God for everything that you ever got and to believe that his word would be true. They knew what it felt like to be able to look up to heaven and see God provide for you almost out of nowhere. They knew what that looked like. But what they did not know, what they did not understand, was how the promise was going to look. And so Moses will begin to write this psalm and this prayer because he wanted the children of Israel to remember how God delivers. And the reason why he wanted them to remember it was because he needed them to understand that they need to learn how to number their days. And so he prays this prayer to God to teach us how to number our days and begins to talk to the Father and begins to let them know, for all our days pass away in your wrath. We are we spend our years in tail and in toil and so forth. And this is the prayer that he has unto God. And he begins to say to God, who knows the power of your anger and of your wrath? And he's trying to get Israel to understand that the time we have on this earth, if you will, is a very short time and a very short moment. And so he says something that's so powerful in the text. If you ever get over to Psalms 90 and begin to read it, he says something that's so powerful that makes me understand how God delivers. In other words, how does God bring me from one place in my life to a totally different place in my life, where if I did not know, if you did not know me over here, you would not believe me in this space, because this space is so far removed from this space that you'll have to have a couple of witnesses that were with me over in this space to believe my story in this space. Is anybody hear what I'm saying? And so Moses says something. So he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then he says something to the Lord. He says, turn, O Lord. And he has a question. How long? Question mark. And then let it repent thee concerning thy servants. In other words, he says to God, God, I know you have somewhere prepared for us that's so much better than where we are. And I need you to go ahead and make that thing turn so that you can remember where we are and understand that we ain't got a whole lot of time to be messing around down here. Let's walk into the promise that you said we're supposed to have. When you wander for a long time, drifting aimlessly in something that God said he did not want for your life, you begin to realize you ain't got no more time to waste, and you got to get to the place where God said you're supposed to be. You got to get to the promises of God operating and flowing in your life. Just touch your neighbor. I'm going to preach it like I feel it. Go on, touch your neighbor and say, your time is up. Come on here. Your time of complaining, your time of wondering, your time of trying to figure it out, your time of trying to calculate how it's going to get done. Go and touch them again, because they ain't believe you the first time, and say, your time is up. God is about to turn his attention toward your life in such a capacity that is going to call you to walk in something you're not even prepared to walk into. Who am I preaching to in here? Slap your neighbor high five and say, you ain't ready. You ain't ready. I know T.D. Jakes told us to get ready, but you still ain't ready. Y'all ain't said nothing. You ain't ready for what God is about to do in your life. You ain't ready for what happens next. Slap your neighbor high five and say, your time is up. Your time is up. There comes a moment, let me preach this thing. There comes a moment in our lives where God turns and he remembers his servants and he remembers his children and he remembers what he has purposed for our lives. It's not that he has to remember because he forgot. It's that he has to remember, like an alarm clock going off, that an appointment was set for somebody. And when God turns, it means that he begins to recall back to his remembrance what he has appointed to those that he is supposed to bless. In other words, Moses is praying this prayer in Psalms 90 saying, God, return. And he says, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. He says, let thy work appear unto your servant, and let the glory be unto their children. In other words, he says, let the beauty of the Lord and our God be upon us and be established through the works of our hands, upon all the works of our hands. Make sure that whatever we're doing is going to result in the glory of God. Then for some reason, whoever comprised and canon the Psalms decided to put behind that another psalm to let you know, while God is working out everything to bring you from here to there, he puts you in this place called the secret place of the Most High. For Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow. I wish I had somebody in here. Of the Almighty. It doesn't say that all of a sudden all of your problems were going to go away, and it doesn't say you were going to have life without trouble. But what it does say is that you are hidden in a place that God has you, that nothing can get to you, in a sense that it's all around you, but it's not really impacting your life the way it's supposed to. So 1,000 falls at your side, and 10,000, I can't get no help, at your right hand, but none of it comes near you. Not only that, you will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the people that's trying to impact your life in a negative way. But the Bible also says, because the Lord has made you, watch me now, because you have made the Lord your refuge. In other words, God has you held back, kept safe and preserved for the moment he's about to put you. I'm going to slow down, because you ain't going to rush me, and I ain't going to let you. You ain't going to rush me, and I ain't going to let you. You have to understand that God then says, okay, I have a promise for your life, but I have to keep you preserved while the trouble is happening now for the promise that is about to come, because I done turned my attention toward you. In other words, God is saying, I set my spiritual TikToker to say, now it's time to bring some folk forth who were hidden in a place where trouble was all around them. And if they really testified about it, they shouldn't even be here today, but somehow they're still here. Slap your name and say, I've been in a secret place. I wish I had a church to preach to. Go on, nudge up again and say, I've been in a secret place. Come on here. See, the secret place is not my secret. The secret place is the secret place of the Most High. And I'm abiding under, I wish I had some time, under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a secret. I'm a secret. I'm a secret. Oh, God, I wish I had somebody in here. I'm a secret. I'm a secret. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. Go on, look at it again and say, I'm a secret. You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even know. You so much of a secret, you don't even know. You don't even know what you are. You're like, I'm a secret? I am? I'm a secret? I don't. Then the psalmist comes along and comprises in Psalms 92 that it's good to praise the Lord. He says it's a good thing to give thanks. Can I preach it like I want to? It's a good thing to give thanks unto God and to sing praises unto his name because of his loving kindness and in the morning and because of his faithfulness every night. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. God, we got to get back to the place in the body of Christ where we really don't mind the interruption of praising God, where we really don't mind taking the time to give God glory that is due his name, not because of what he's about to do, but simply because of who he is. And also as a reflection of the things, I wish I had some help in here, he has done in our lives. Then the psalmist comes along in Psalms 93 and says God is majestic in all of his ways and begins to tell us in a very short psalm, my God, that the testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thy house, O Lord, forever. In other words, the testimonies are very sure. The reason why the psalmist comes along and parenthetically inserts five verses, which becomes his own psalm, is to suggest and to say that God is majestic, meaning that you really can't calculate or figure out how he does a thing, because with God all things are possible, not all things are probable. God does not deal in probability. God only deals in possibility. For probability wants you to be able, if you will. Come on, get this, lady. For probability wants you to be able, if you will, to y'all focus on me, look at me. For probability wants you to be able, if you will, to calculate what God is going to do. You cannot calculate what God is going to do. You can only, if you will, believe what God is going to do. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you can't calculate it. You can't calculate it. Now, if y'all would want to be the church and stop playing around with church, come on here, somebody. Look at your name and say, you can't calculate it. Come on here. The devil is a liar. It is obvious. It is obvious he does not want you to get this word today. He has done everything to distract you from this moment in your life right now. My question is, are you going to let him get away with the distraction? Take 30 seconds and give God a praise. And let them know. You ain't mean it. Sit down. Psalms 94 comes behind it and says that vengeance belongs unto God. Uh-huh. Stay with me. All right. Y'all don't need 80 people. I need my ushers. I need Dr. Damon, and I need one usher. That's all I need. And nurse and Damon's wife. That's all I need. Everybody else, sit down. Did you hear what I said? Everybody else, sit down. If you're not Dr. Damon, if you're not Shantae, and if you're not Garland, sit down. Thank you. Psalms 94 comes along and says that vengeance belongs to God. In other words, you ain't got to have no time wasting trying to get back at nobody for what they've done to you. I can't get help. Slap your name and say, your time is up. Time is up for unforgiveness. Time is up for bitterness. Time is up for jealousy and envy. Time is up. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You don't have time. I gotta help you. You don't have time to be trying to get back at anybody for what they have done to you at any moment in your life. There is a freedom in forgiveness that when you let it go for real, you relinquish the power that somebody has over your life because they tried to crush you and it didn't work. They tried to break your spirit, but it God, I wish I had a church this morning. Psalms 95 then calls you to worship the Lord because he is our God and we are his people and the sheep of his hand. And it calls us to worship him in this new place of freedom where we have forgiven folk because now we can hear the voice of the Lord because we're no longer distracted by all of the voices and the white noise of individuals who have been trying to speak into our lives but don't really have the power for our purpose but only had the prescription for our pain. I wish I had somebody in here. The only thing they had for us is more pain, more nuisance, more hardship. I wish I had somebody. That's why it calls us into worshiping the Lord, because it blocks out all of those negative voices and negative noise that is in our life and brings us to a moment of peace and calm. Psalms 96 comes along and says, declare the glory of God. Psalms 97 comes along and says, rejoice and let the Lord reign. And then all of a sudden, my God, we find ourselves in Psalms 98. Where it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Haven't you ever wondered why the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song? Haven't that ever crossed your mind and you had to ask the question, why does God want me to sing a new song? Psalms 33:3 declares, sing unto him a new song. And then also in Psalms 40, it says, he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it because I trust in the Lord. Psalms 96 comes along and says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalms 98 declares the same thing. Psalms 144 declares the same thing. Psalms 149 declares the same thing. Then we get into the prophetic book of Isaiah and he comes along and says, sing unto the Lord a new song and praise him from the end of the earth. Why? Because he says in Psalms in Isaiah 42 that in all their end, my God, when you praise him from the end of the earth and all the inhabitants thereof, then all the way down in the book of Revelation, you begin to get your answer as to why God asks you to sing to him a new song. Revelation 5 now says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Then the Bible says in Revelation 14:3, and they sang as it were up a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, that no man could learn the song, if you will. In other words, the Bible is letting us know the reason why the Lord is instructing us to sing a new song unto the Lord is because at some moment in your life, God is about to take you from the place where you are to a new place of promise where you have never been. And you have to begin to sing the new song from the place of where you are, so that when you get to the place that you have never been, I wish I had a church in here, so that when you get to the place you have never been, praise has already gone ahead of you before you got there. I got 6 minutes to do this thing. I'm going to take my time. You ain't even got to worry about it. When I think about music, you know, music has changed, you know. It's not a game. But when I think about the power of it and begin, my son was having a discussion about, you know, we always talk about music and, you know, I try to listen to the stuff they listen to, my daughter, and like Chance the Rapper and all those cats, and young people like, Pastor, no Chance. Yeah, I know Chance the Rapper. You don't want no problems with me. I know Chance the Rapper. I got Chance. All right, guys, you know, Lil Wayne, all of them, you know, Lil Uzi. I'm like, I stop at Lil Uzi. I can't do that. I don't. Lil Uzi, you know your name, Chauncey. Sit down, be quiet, Lil Uzi. Anywho, you know, and I try to discuss with my kids and my daughter has such a wonderful taste in all different types of music, and like every morning, for a month straight, we just listen to Stevie Wonder every morning. Me and her going to school. I wish I had, because it cheered her up. You feel? It's because there's certain songs that bring you up, and then there's certain songs that bring you down. There's certain songs that are good for your spirit, and then there's certain songs I can't get help. That if you want to shoot somebody after you listen to something, probably not a good song. I just want to pray. If you are angry and mad, like you can't, like I back in the day there was, you know, with angry rap, there was Onyx, like back in the days. Y'all don't, some of y'all remember Onyx. Y'all try and play me like you don't know who Onyx is. It was Onyx, and there was Mobb Deep, and there was, okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, yeah. And then there are rappers who are able to take that anger and shape it into a message, like Nas when he made Illmatic. Like, okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Because I'm on hip-hop. That's why. Let's go back to Stevie. But I told my daughter, I said, man, you got some of the stuff you're listening to is depressing, man. It's oppressing. Just sad. I mean, just, you know, you want to get some Stevie in your life. Get some, you know, get some Do I Do. Get some, I can't get help here from anybody. Get some Stevie in your life. Get some music that's going to cheer you up. Get some Elements. Come on. Get some Earth, Wind, and Fire down in your soul. Get some Dancing in September in your spirit. I'm not going to forget the Temptations. Some Temptations in your spirit. Listen to what they were singing about compared to what they're singing about now. Temptation said, I wish it would rain. I wish I had some help. Temptation was talking about my girl and one day I'm going to marry you. I'm going to get my stuff right, you know. then I'm going to marry you. But now, everything's ratchet. When you don't have a new song, God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Let's shout. When you don't have a new song, all you can describe is pain and horror and agony. When you don't have a new song, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. All you can do is rehearse the trouble. When you don't have a new song, all you can do is rehearse the negative sides of culture. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so the Bible says, I want you to have a new song. And the reason the Bible says I want you to have a new song is very plain. Now I got to get to where I need to go. When I think of music, I love all types of music. And I love, I can get with some hip hop, but really old school, though. It's got to be like Chubb Rock or something, or, or Leaders of the New School or Tribe Called Quest or, a little bit more chill, And I love all types of music, R&B and rhythm and blues and jazz I love all types of music, and there are certain songs that'll lift your spirit. Yeah. See, you all messed up because I ain't talking about spiritual songs. Y'all ain't said nothing. But you can put on a song, it ain't gotta be spiritual, come on here, somebody. I'm going to explain why in a second.
See, you got to understand this concept, and the reason you're going to understand it is because the whole earth sings God's praise.
I'm going to get there in a second. All right. Since y'all took some of my time, I'm going to take it back. You got distracted for a few moments. I'm going to get my time back. Y'all ain't going to rush me. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And so there's certain songs that'll lift your spirit. There's certain songs, my God, that when you begin to hear them, begin to sing, your spirit begins to soar, and it takes you to a different place. Me and my son, we were coming back from New York, and I put on a Commodore Zoom Zoom. Y'all ain't said nothing, man. What? Searching for that silver lining, baby. Horizons that I've never seen. I wish I had somebody. You don't know nothing about no Commodores. You don't know nothing about no Zoom Zoom. Y'all ain't said nothing right there.
That's grown folk music right there. Grown folk music. Okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. My uncle used to say, that's grown folk music, boy. You don't know nothing about that. And we put on that joint. We just sitting in there, both of us, Zoom. He like, you feeling? I'm like, that's my jam, man. I just start thinking about my life, where I could go, what I could do, what I could be. It's quiet in here. It's quiet in here. Well, Pastor, that's not holy of you. Fix your halo. That's crooked on your horns.
What I'm trying to say to you is that music is absolutely powerful. And when I think of music, I think of people like Bach and classical composers who just picked it up, who didn't really have any real lessons, but just was able to compose stuff just out of nothing. Johann Sebastian Bach, if you will, was the classical music what William Shakespeare was to English literature. He was to physics what Sir Isaac Newton was. In other words, in his body of work, it includes 256, you don't know this, cantatas. In other words, for nearly four centuries after his original writing, it's still one of the most popular soundtracks, if you will, today. It is one of the most popular soundtracks of one of life's most precious moments, and that is the bridal entrance at the wedding ceremony. When you hear dom, dom, da, dom, That's Sebastian Bach. I wish I had somebody in here with me. How in the world could that man hear that all those years ago? And for centuries, when people marched into the church to be wed in holy matrimony, all rise, dom, dom, da, dom, and I can't get help in from that. Why? Because when you begin to listen to his music, if you will, it's almost a rapture experience. In other words, it was Bach who did this, if you will. He, in his composing, made sure that at the end of everything he ever composed, he inscribed three letters in the margins of his music. And those three letters were SDG. The words SDG, or the phrase SDG, were three letters that stood for a Latin phrase, sola deo gloria, which means in Latin, to the glory of God alone. On everything he ever wrote, he put in the margin, to the glory of God. I wish I had help. To the glory of God alone. What if every filmmaker, what if every entrepreneur, what if every person in this room decided anything they're going to do is going to be for the glory of God? I wish I had a church alone. In other words, you have to understand, it's not about what you do, it's about why you do what you do. And ultimately, it's about who you do it for. In God's kingdom, it's our motivation that matters most. And when I told you the title of this message, you really didn't get it. You almost apathetically said to your neighbor, there's about to be a celebration. You really didn't even understand the concept, because there was no meaning behind it to understand. But if you had any type of spiritual discernment, you'd have said, there is about to be a celebration. That means that obviously God is trying to tell you that there's about to be a celebration. So he wants you to sing a new song, because when he does what he said he's going to do in your life, and when he does what you don't even know what he's about to do in your life, y'all ain't said nothing, you better already have a new song in your heart. The reason why you have to have a new song in your heart is because when he's taking you, it's for the glory of him only. And it's so powerful, you might not understand. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. It's so powerful. I'm speaking prophetically now. It's so powerful, you might mistake that you done did something to get here. Y'all ain't said nothing, when it's the Lord that has brought you a mighty long way. Stay here. Right here. So it's the motivation that matters most. God judges the motives of the heart. And so, to the glory of God only means that I'm living for an audience of one. Ah, God. It means I'm living for the applause, my God, of my Savior, not so much for the applause of anybody else. It means that all I care about is the Lord pleased with me. You have to understand that not only is God asking you to sing a new song, but he is also singing with you. Look at your name and say, you didn't know God sang. Come on here, you didn't know. To Johann Sebastian Bach, the distinction between the sacred and the secular was a false dichotomy. I'm going to say that again. The distinction between the sacred and the secular was a false dichotomy, because to him, all things were created by God and for God, with no exceptions. That means every note of music had to end up to the glory of God the Father. It was Arnold Sommerfeld, who was a German physicist and pianist, that observed this right here, that a single hydrogen atom, which emits 100 frequencies, is more musical than a grand piano, which only emits 88 frequencies. In other other words, the very Adam, that my God, that spoke the world into existence when said, let there be light, which everything else is made of, is singing. That's why the Bible says the whole earth sings God praise. This is why Jesus looked at the people and said, if you don't praise me, these rocks will cry out and praise me, because the rocks are making music. Y'all ain't saying nothing. What is your life about to compose? And what symphony is people about to hear from what God is about to do in your life? Slap your name and say, let's make some music. Y'all ain't said nothing. My God, God is about to put harmony to your misery. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. He is about to orchestrate and construct. He is about to orchestrate and construct. The devil is a liar. He's about to orchestrate and construct the very symphony of your life. Can you imagine God tapping, my God, his music stand and getting the tempo ready for what's about to take place in your life? Can you imagine the heavenly angels on the left hand, y'all ain't said nothing, and the great cloud of witnesses on the right hand, and your intercessors in the middle that God has raised up to pray over your life that you don't even know about, to begin to instruct him to do a thing? And as he begins to flick and wave his wand, I wish I had somebody in here with me, then all of a sudden all of heaven is in chorus along with you. The Bible says God sings songs of healing over your life. As Zechariah would say, slap your neighbor a high five and say, you better get ready because you ain't even ready. Come on here. My God. God is about to orchestrate a movement in the mundane areas of your life. Slap your neighbor and say, there's about to be a movement in the everyday. Come on here. That means when you're going to the grocery store, God is about to do a miracle. When you're getting in your car to go to work, God is about to orchestrate a miracle. When you're going to school, God is about to orchestrate a miracle. When you're on your way back home from church, God is about to orchestrate. Slap your name and say, God is about to orchestrate a miracle. Come on here. The devil is a liar. I'm going to get this thing out. I'm going to get this thing out. The devil is a liar. Come on, look at him again and say, God is about to orchestrate a miracle. From all of the mess you've been going through and all of the misery you've been facing, God is saying right in the middle of that place, I want you to sing to me a new song, because I did marvelous things in the past, but what I'm about to do pales in comparison. I don't say that to you for hype. I say that to you as your pastor and prophetically to tell you, get ready for a new song. Isaiah came along and said, sing, O barren thou that did not bear with child. Cry aloud and break forth into singing. Slap your name and say, I got a song. Come on here. I got it. It's from the history of my life. You might not like the tune of it, but baby, it's my song. I wish I had somebody. You might not like how it sounds, but sweetheart, it's my music. Because you wasn't there when I didn't think I was going to make it. You weren't there when I was on my last. You were not there. Slap somebody a high five and say, I got a song. I feel like preaching in here. I got a song. I got a song. I got a song. I got a song. You ain't gotta like it, but I got a song. And it's gonna be my song that keeps me while I'm in the middle of what God is performing in my life. It's gonna be my song. I wish I had a church that preserves me while I'm in the middle of what's going on in my life. God is raising up champions. Listen to me, and I'm closing. God is raising up champions. A champion, according to the Bible, is one who gets in between the spaces and contends from victory. You hear what I said? Because half of y'all lost in the sauce. A champion, according to Scripture, right, it only shows up three times in your Bible. And the word champion means one who gets in between the spaces. I'm about to say a thing and you don't even know. One who gets in between the spaces and contends from victory. Listen, not for victory, from victory. So the moment you showed up and looked at a big situation and declared, is there not a cause? I wish I had a church. I wish I had a church. Let me give you an outlier. Okay, an outlier is okay. A misnomer. Let me give you a misfact and a misperception of a story. This is gonna help you before I get to the next part in my close. David showed up and Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. That's what the Bible says. Israel had no champion. David came along and said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Is there not a cause? The word cause means word, direction from God. So he was saying, did we not get a word from the Lord? That we got the victory? Here's the outlier, because the Bible describes the weaponry of the Philistine, of Goliath. His spear, how big it was. His shield, his armor, how much it weighed. What it was made of brass and gold. And how big it was. And how small and insignificant David was. But here's the outlier. Here's the misconception. Goliath brought a knife to a gunfight. David had a slingshot. David wasn't in trouble. Goliath was in trouble. Your problem over here is that you see Goliath, but when you step over here, you see a cause, a word. Over here, all you can see is the spear and the weight. But over here, when God transitions you to a different place and a different mindset, you're going, I can't believe you brought a knife. The force at which Goliath got hit mathematically is the same force of a bullet hitting him. Your enemy came unprepared. God, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I am preaching better than you're shouting. Your enemy came unprepared to assault and attack your life. Come on, we gotta go. It's hot. Y'all look like y'all won't be here, so we leave. I'm closing you with this. So, when they comprised the psalm, they put in book four all the reasons to praise the Lord. Because you have to remember how he delivers. That when he does it, it's majestic. And then you have to be reminded, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. God, I'm preaching better than I should. Then you have to know vengeance is God. I ain't got to get you back. I ain't got to worry about you. You tried to keep me here, but God is propelling me here. Who am I preaching to? So all I got to do is get me a new song, because that sad song I've been singing ain't working no more. Slap your name and say, there's about to be a celebration. When you get to Psalms 100, I'm going to preach it like I feel it. When you get to Psalms 100, you're getting to the place where Israel realized we ought to be celebrating, that we should not be crying over spilled milk, that we ought to be giving God glory for what he has done. but more importantly, for what he's about to do. So Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do I have a church in here? Slap your name and say, I'm about to make a joyful noise. I feel like preaching to somebody here. Look at it again and say, I'm about to make a joyful noise. I don't care what you say. Can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Meaning some folk ain't going to want to celebrate with you, but they're going to be forced to listen to it anyway. Y'all ain't said nothing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Just parenthetically insert this into somebody's spirit and look at them and say, this is my last angry day. Come on here. God, I feel an anointing in here. This is my last angry day. Serve the Lord with gladness. I feel the Lord in here. Look at it again. Say, this is my last sick day. I feel the Lord in here. Look at somebody else. This is my last broke day. Serve the Lord with gladness. I ain't got no church in here. Serve the Lord with gladness. I hear your Holy Spirit. 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 Look at your neighbor again. Come on here. Come on, look at me. Why are y'all looking at me? Look at your neighbor. Lord, have mercy. It's like pulling teeth. Dude, please say this. I heard the Holy Spirit just as clear. I don't know who this is for. Look at him quickly. You got to say it just like I said. This is my last tired day. For this is the last day I stress over figuring out how things are going to go. I wish I had somebody help me. This is my last tired day. This is my last stressed out day. I'm just going to preach it like I feel. Yes, it is.